listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. And we greet and welcome all you listeners wherever you are, on the radio, on the internet. If you're listening out in the car, wherever you are, we just greet you and welcome you to our program. Pastor Don and I, we co-pastor a church here in Stuart that we have for 21 years. God gave us a name way back, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. What an incredible name for a church, because the Word of God is, it truly is a spirit of prophecy, isn't it, Pastor Don? So we're honored to be here with you. Hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. And we're honored to be part of WCNO Radio. They're on 7 days a week and 24 hours a day with music and good teaching and all that. And so we hope you can stay tuned in for this particular program. As we mentioned, we're on every Saturday from 12 noon for a whole hour. We do offer CDs or a tape of our teachings. And if you'd want that, all we ask for is a love offering to be sent to the church. And you can make out a check to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. And that's at Post Office Box 413, Stuart, Florida. And the zip there is 34995. Whatever God tells you, you just put it in the box and we'll be honored to have that. It'll help us. And we're glad to send out that to you as well, so you can edify yourself with the Word of God. Amen, Pastor Donna?
Amen.
So, praise Pastor Donna, do we have a few announcements we need to make here before we do a little teaching here today? God kind of woke me up here. I was kind of dozing this morning before we got up and on. He had me thinking about John chapter 6. We're going to go over and look at some things in John chapter 6 with you today. I think they're very prophetic. So go ahead, and what have you
I just want to mention that also if they'd like to send a love offering, that would be a blessing to the ministry for this radio program.
Amen.
And I also want to mention that we're also on WCNO.com or on the internet, so they can listen to us if you're in your automobile,
mm-hmm.
and you'd like to listen to us when you're out of distance. You can go to your computer or your phone, and you can listen to WCNO on the internet. And also the programs that we do, they can go back and listen to other programs because they have a way to go back and look at Latin's in the last week, or even I think they're as far back as 2 years. So that's a blessing also, so you can listen to the program again. Many times people, you just don't catch everything, and I know sometimes we go a little fast and give scriptures, so you want to just write those down. You might want to go back and study and see what the Word of God is saying to you. Amen.
Amen. I want us to start over again, right?
That's right. So we listen to it one time. We need to listen.
We don't remember everything we hear the first time, do we?
Several times. That's right. So I just want to mention also, if you like information about the church, you can call us, and I'm going to give you the phone number in just a few minutes, and you can we'll send you out the calendar for this month of February, which is also Adar 1. We have, there's this year, we have Adar 1 and Adar 2. So, which is, this is, we're in Adar 1. And also on our calendar, you can see the Hebrew calendar, and you can learn the Hebrew letters, alphabet, which their alphabet is, for instance, today is today's the
7th.
Today's the 8th.
The 8th, I'm thinking about seven, yesterday.
Right, well, it's the 7th right. Started on Adar. Yeah. 7. So yesterday, Friday was Adar 7.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a Zayin. So they can see the different letters because the Hebrew letters are represented by numbers as well. So if you'd like that calendar, you can have that. And there's also a little teaching on there about the truth shall make us free, and about all some of the false gospels that we talked about last week. And so many of those things are on there with several scriptures that Pastor Gene has put on there as well. So I'm going to give our phone number. I also want to mention that we have services here in Stuart, Florida. We have Sunday morning services at 10, and a service, and then we have, we have a dinner afterwards. And so if you're going to come and plan on spending the day with us.
Spend a little bit of time with us.
We start at 10, and we usually aren't out of there until maybe 2 or so. And so that would be a blessing if you'd like to do that some Sunday. And also on Friday nights, we have Shabbat. And so we spend time seeking God's presence and we all have communion together.
Hallelujah.
So that's a wonderful
precious
time. Yes, that's right. We honor the Sabbath. And then on Saturdays, we have usually Bible school, and we have or a video. So today we have a video at 4 o'clock. So if you'd like to come this afternoon at 4 o'clock, and you'd be blessed by that video, their teaching video, so you're going to learn many things, you know. And we normally have worship arts class, but that was canceled for today, but we will be having it again the following week. And
sure.
They might want to mark their calendar, because in a few weeks we will be celebrating Purim.
Hallelujah.
And we have a program, and it's lots of fun. And we have, dancing and music and feasting and celebrating. And whenever we say Haman, everyone says,
boo.
Boo.
Yeah.
He's a representative of the devil, you know. And so our phone number here in Stuart, Florida is area code 772-285-7007. It's area code 772-285-7007.
So in the near future, in the future weeks ahead, we'll be teaching on Purim, and there's so many prophetic things, and it's incredible, the book of Esther.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that God's name's not mentioned on one of those pages in that book, but he's all over the book. He's
Amen.
Got his signature on every page
yes,
in the book.
Yes, he does.
Now, I might mention this, Pastor, I know you were talking about the calendar. You mentioned that this month is Adar 1, that this month the Jewish people have 2 months of Adar. Somebody may not know what that's all about. Well, the Jews have to do this every 7 years. They add an extra, every 7 years out of 19, I should say it over again, seven times I should say, out of 19 years, they have to add another month to their calendar to make sure the seasons remain in the right time of the year. And so this is one of those years that they'll be doing it. So it's almost every 3 years that they have to add an extra day to their, or not an extra day, but an extra month to their calendar. Now the Muslims, we know, they're on a lunar calendar also. Well, they don't do that. So their big day, Ramadan, it floats all around the year, as the years go by. One year it could be in the spring, and maybe 5 years later it'd be in the fall. And so the Jews do that to keep the seasons proper. And so there'll be 2 months of Adar in this particular year, 5774 on the Jewish calendar. Well, anyway, we're glad to be here with you. And I was thinking about some things just before I woke up. I was kind of dreaming this morning a little bit, and I kept hearing things about John chapter 6. So let's do this. I want to go over to John chapter 6. I'm going to do something here right at the beginning. It's very prophetic to show you. And then we're going to move over a little bit further into the book, because it is a long chapter, chapter 6 in the book of John. I want to do this. Chapter 6 of John, if you're at home, you can open up a Bible. If you're not, you can listen. As we said, you can order a CD or a tape. And all we ask for is a love offering, and you make out a check to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. Mail it to Post Office Box 413-413, Stuart, Florida. The zip is 34995, and we'll be glad to get it out to you. Well, we know in chapter 6 here, at the beginning of the chapter, Jesus, the disciples were getting hungry and all that, and the people are all around, and they mentioned that they hadn't been fed, and they were hungry. And so they found a little boy, a lad, it says here in verse 9, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? The disciples asked. Well, we know that Jesus multiplied all that. And what I want to share, this is interesting. Everyone was fed, and when it was all over, verse 12 says this, when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. You need to mark that in your Bible. Nothing be lost. And I'm going to remind you of this. I talk about this. Jesus said this one time. He said, the first will be last, and the last will be first. Very prophetic. the Jewish people should have been the first ones into the kingdom of God, okay, in accepting Yeshua, but they failed. And so who's going to be first? We should have been last, and they should have been first. But instead, they rejected the Messiah, and they didn't know the day of their visitation. So he said, the last will be first. That's the believers today in Yeshua. And he said, the last will be first, and the first will be last. So think about this. There's 12 tribes of Israel, and there's a group of them out there still out in the world today, and a lot of them are still lost. They don't know the Messiah. So I thought about this when I was reading this morning. He said, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. See, Jesus' purpose, Yeshua's purpose, is that no one, absolutely no one, would be lost, that they would all come into the kingdom of God. And we know his love for his own people, the Jewish people that he came to. So let's go on now. He says, therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets of fragments. There's 12 tribes of Israel. Of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then these men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of truth. This is of a truth. That prophet that should come into the world, and he surely was. He was more than a prophet. He was all God. He was all man. But the key thing that caught me here today thinking about this was God's purpose. The 12 here reveals the 12 tribes that God wants to bring in. There's lost tribes. He's going to bring them all in the near future. And so this is what I thought with all this prophetic. Gather up the fragments of all the people around the world, Jewish people, that remain, that nothing be lost. He doesn't want anyone to be lost. And it's interesting, there was 12 baskets left over. It's incredible when you think about the Word of God and the prophetic implications. Well, let's go over a little bit further now. Where do I want to go here, Lord? I was asking you before we came on here.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm going to start in verse 26. Jesus answered and said to these followers and disciples, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Remember, they saw the miracle. 27. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father, listen to this, sealed. You and I that are born again, we're sealed in the Lord. Verse 28, then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you what? Ye believe on him whom he hath sent. Amen. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Now remember, the Jews, the Bible tells us what? The Jews desired a sign. And what did the Greeks want? They wanted knowledge. So here they are, the Jews wanting a sign. Verse 31. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. I'm going to read that again. I say unto you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but bread did come to physical bread. He's talking about the spiritual bread. But my Father giveth you what? The true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. I'm going to read this again. For the bread of God is he, who's that? Yeshua, which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him in verse 34, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. Hear that? I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I say unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. See, they saw him. They literally saw him. We haven't seen him, but we come by faith, don't we, Pastor Don?
Amen.
You know, we come by faith. We've never seen, but we come by faith, trusting what the Word says. Verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. You hear that? For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me, which is God the Father.
Amen. Amen. That's right. Praise God.
And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing.
Nothing.
But should raise it up again, what? At the last day. This is incredible. And we got a reference here if you want to write this down while we're reading and talking about this. It's in Daniel chapter 12, verse 13, about the last day. We won't go over there, but you can look that up for yourself. Daniel 12, 12:13 is a reference here. Now listen to verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have what? Everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last. Here's last days mentioned twice. Verse 41. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. Now listen to what he says here. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Hear this?
Thank you, Lord.
And I will raise him up at the last day. Here's the third time the last day is mentioned. Now think, keep this in mind with Judaism. When they think about the last day, they don't think about one day. The last day is a period of 1,000 years, which they know is going to be the kingdom of God. That's the last day in their mind. Now let's go on. Verse 45. It is written in the prophets, Jesus says, and they shall be all taught of what? God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God. Who's that? Yeshua. He has seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath what?
Everlasting life.
Now, here we go. He mentions again, I am the bread of life.
Bread of life.
Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. See, it's a spiritual thing. They couldn't comprehend this. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Listen to that. I'm going to read that again. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Here we are. They're back in the natural, aren't they, Pastor Don? They can't think about it. This is a spiritual thing. Just in a few days, they're going to find out it'll be a natural thing, but he's showing them something that is going to be done before that to show them something special. When we take communion, what is it? It's spiritual, isn't it? It's a spiritual thing that we do.
Even Jesus, when he took communion with his disciples on that Passover.
That's right. Even though he was going to die, but there's also a spiritual thing behind it about what his life was going to represent for all of us.
He said, this is my body.
That's right. Now, verse 53 says, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Now, this probably just went tilt with him. How can we eat his flesh and drink his blood? Are we a cannibal? You know cannibalism? Verse 51, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath what? Eternal life. So we should think about that when we take communion if you're born again. Mm. And I will raise him up, what? At the last day. Here's the third time that last day is mentioned. Glory be to God. And from the time that Jesus died and rose from the grave, the third day from that time will be what? We'll be in the millennial kingdom. Isn't that incredible?
And we're going to be raised up because he was raised
Absolutely.
Up. Because we take of him. And so we take that part. We all share that.
Absolutely.
Communion is because he was raised up. Mm-hmm. We have that guarantee, that promise that we will be raised up.
Whether we're raised up from out of the grave or we're caught off the earth. Amen. With the rapture, the catching away of the church.
That's right.
Verse 55 says, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. See that? When we take communion, think about that. For my flesh indeed is what? Is meat, huh?
Yes.
And my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me. And I and him. Isn't it incredible? This is just shortly before he was going to die. But they couldn't comprehend it because it was a spiritual thing.
We dwell in him.
That's right.
And now, I in him.
Let's go on now.
Dwelleth in me,
that's
and
right.
I in him.
In him.
Glory.
As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me.
Awesome.
It's awesome.
Glory.
This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth this bread shall live what? Forever.
Forever.
These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. And it would be, wouldn't it?
It was.
In the natural. It was. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? Are you offended by this? What if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? And those disciples saw it.
And they did see
it. They got to see it in the future.
And you think about it, Pastor Gene. the manna that they received in the wilderness, that had to come down.
That's right.
Every day, you know.
Amen.
But Jesus did once for all.
Once and for all.
Once and for all.
Very prophetic. So we live in Him, don't we?
Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Now the next verse here is verse 63. This is an interesting one.
It's the Spirit.
Verse 63 says this. It is the Spirit. You know, people mm-hmm. in the body of Christ, we do a lot of things. We all miss the mark and all that. We know that the Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak many times. But see, this is a spiritual thing. We have to grab hold of this and walk in it. It is the Spirit,
that quickeneth.
In other words, gives life. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And by the way, this word words here in the Greek language is the word rhema. It's a living word, isn't it, Pastor Doug?
They were living words.
The living words that I speak
yes.
unto you, they are spirit and they are life. When we hear from the Lord, amen. And He's making it quite clear here. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray Him. Whew. See, we might all be betrayed, but we'll never betray Jesus if we're walking with Him. We'll never deny Him. We'll never betray the Lord. Amen. 65, and He said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him, what? Of my Father. 66, from that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. And why? He tells you why in a minute. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? So a lot of them left, but those 12 were still there. Are you going to leave me too? Remember, He had more than 12 disciples. He walked those dusty roads. Hundreds of people followed Him and listened to Him every day. So they were following. They were disciples. So He asked them, are you going to go away also? Then verse 68, then Simon Peter speaks up and answers, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words, here's our word, rhema again, of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray Him, being one of the 12. It's incredible.
So He chose the 12, and one of them that He chose was a devil.
That's right. He knew that from the beginning.
But see, the Jewish people, when they got upset and everything, and you know they wanted to stone Him.
That's right.
They were their mind.
Their mind,
but the disciples, they said when they said they believed, it's by the heart. They had heart belief.
That's
and
right.
So we have to believe in our heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there's a big difference between the mind and the heart. And you always talk about there's so many inches between the
17 inches.
The mind and the heart.
The heart, yeah.
So, you know, it's that heart faith. It's that heart believing.
That's right.
You know, we can't figure the things out in our mind. We try to figure these things out. We try to put them down line by line and try to get everything so it fits in a box. But, you know, God doesn't fit things in a box.
That's
you
right.
know? And so we have to believe by faith we come to the Lord. So, but it's by heart faith. It's heart faith. And it's heart faith that it's only through that we can be all that God has called us to be and that what Jesus did for us, we have to believe in our heart.
That's right. It's incredible. As we talk about this, we know this was prior to His death. They didn't comprehend it, but I want to go to Luke chapter 24 with you and show you something that happened after His resurrection. They still didn't fully understand, even after His resurrection.
Because, you know, what Jesus came to do is to change our heart.
That's right.
Because even in the very beginning, or back in Genesis, it says the man of heart is what? Wicked.
That's right.
Man's
wicked
heart
in all his ways.
Is wicked. So, but by the body and the blood of Jesus, our heart can be changed.
Absolutely.
And so that we can have a heart of like the heart of God.
That's
so
right.
That we can love and we can do the things that God's called us to do because Jesus did what the Father sent Him to do because of His love.
That's right.
So, you know, it's all about our heart. We're going to believe in our heart. You know, God wants to work on our heart because man's heart has been evil from the beginning.
That's right. So God's trying to show this to us that He's not after numbers, is He? He's after the hearts of the people.
Hearts.
And His desire, He would have every heart in the world today that's alive.
That's
He'd
right.
like to have their hearts. And He's had that and wanted that desire ever since His death, burial, and resurrection. So, let's go to Matthew chapter 24.
Amen.
I was thinking about this while Donna was talking there. Now, this is after His resurrection. We know that it was on the first day of the week and He rose from the grave, walked into that room with the disciples and all that and spoke with them. And then I'm going to start here in Luke 24, verse 13, it says this, "And behold, two of the disciples, went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. Now, if you look this up with the understanding of the Bible, this is about 7 miles, Pastor Donna. Wouldn't you like to walk with the Lord for 7 miles? You know how long would it take you to walk 7 miles? It might take you probably well over an hour, wouldn't it, to walk 7 miles, more than likely? So can you imagine they got to walk with him 7 miles? Now listen to this. "As they talked together of all these things which had happened, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them." He appeared to them. "But their eyes were" what? "Holden, that they should not know." It means holden means they were held, that they should not know him. "And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that you have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them,
What things?
He didn't know. And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed us." "But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is" what? Here's that third day mentioned again. "Since these things were done." Remember, he rose on the third day. "Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." So this is all spoken before, wasn't it?
There we are, slow of heart. Isn't it interesting? I wonder how many times when Jesus is walking with us, but when we start communing and start talking about the things of the Lord, like when we come together in church on Friday or Sunday, or even a fellowship or two or three people, start talking to each other and start sharing the scriptures, how all of a sudden, you know, God reveals through his rhema word, or, you know, the Spirit of God reveals to us one of these secret things. So here is Jesus walking along with them, you know, all this distance, like you said, and, you know, he's listening. He's listening, but he's listening to them, and he's hearing the hunger of their heart and trying to understand. And so now he's going to start to reveal. And that's just how God does now with his word. As we spend time in his word and we read and we pray and we seek the presence of the Lord like we do on Friday nights, and like we should be doing all the time, you know, when we're hungry and we're seeking. You know, he comes to the hungry and the thirsty people. So
that's what he does.
And so they were hungry. You know, they were there at the sepulcher.
That's right.
They are talking about the angels. They're talking about the women who saw and saw the angels and heard the angels' voices, you know. And so they're still in their heart. They're running these through their these things through their mind, and so God then reveals himself. Now Jesus is going to reveal himself, like you said, and talks about their being slow of heart.
But they don't know he's Jesus here yet.
No, but he's saying that you're slow of heart.
Slow of heart.
Your heart. How does your heart not get touched? How does our heart even now? How do we still? So many people are slow at heart, you know.
Like slugs, aren't they? Like those slugs that barely crawl on the ground. You know how slow they are. We don't want to be a slug in the things of the Spirit.
It's the Spirit. That's why we need more of the Spirit of God to reveal those things to our heart.
That's right.
Because it's through the heart. It's through the Spirit that man believes, not through the mind or the intellect, but it's through the heart.
So
he says, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. See, it was spoken of in the past.
That's
now
right.
He says, ought not Christ have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?
Now I'm going to jump ahead here a moment thinking about this.
Thank you, Lord.
We need to hear, don't we?
We need to hear.
And then believe.
And believe.
And so we won't be slow of heart. So after his resurrection, I'm reminded of what Paul wrote over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, if you want to turn over there with me. And I want to read a few verses here in chapter 14, and we'll come back to Luke. In verse 24 of 1 Corinthians 14, Paul's describing and discussing things about the things of the Spirit in the congregation and all that when you come into the meetings. "But if all prophesy," he says, "and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned," maybe hasn't been taught these things, "he is convinced of all, He is judged of all that he's going to hear, in other words. Mm-hmm. And thus are the secrets of his heart. Here we go.
That's right.
The secrets of his heart, what's in his heart, made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. Amen? That's incredible. So here, it's the same thing. The heart's talked about all through the Bible.
All through the Bible.
And so here in verse 25 of Luke chapter 24, we see this again, don't we? And slow of heart, what? To believe, what? That he was the Messiah, and all that the prophets have spoken about that. Amen? So let's go on now. Verse 26 says, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Who's talking to him? Jesus is talking to them, but they don't realize it's him yet. And verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, listen to this, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning him. Can you imagine he walked with them for 7 miles, opened up the scriptures, and revealed everything that he could possibly give them from the word of God about himself. Isn't that incredible? And they, because there were some questions in their mind here. Verse 28 says, and they drew nigh unto the village of Emmaus, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. So he decided to stay with them. Now listen to this. Now this is incredible. Glory be to God. Hasamon de debe. Whoa. Verse 30. And it came to pass. I love this. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, listen to this now, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. So they broke bread with him. And it came to pass, as he sat with meat with them, he took the bread and blessed it and break it, and he gave it to them. And their eyes were opened. As soon as they did that, their eyes were opened. Isn't that incredible? And they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. He gave them a glimpse for that small moment of time. Isn't that incredible? So, you know, we take communion together. It's a meal that heals. We're having fellowship with the Messiah, Yeshua, when we have communion with him. It's a special time. And so every time I take it, Lord, I just open my eyes a little bit more that I might see something else about you. Because, you know, there's a teaching and a revelation down underneath. Every time we take communion, there's something God would like to show us. And so I ask him every time, Lord, open my eyes that I might even see more than I know right now. And then verse 32 says, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while they talked with us by the way, and while they opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Mm. And so you should fall in love with the Lord even more so in the breaking of bread with communion. You should know more about him. We want to know more about him. You know, it's hard to get your mind around what he did for us. It's hard to get incredible to think about it. But he did it for you and I. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Here's the hearts again. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. You know, there's no blood there, but he's got flesh and bones. Mm. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy, listen, and while they believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms. What? Concerning me, the Messiah. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, what? The third day. Isn't that incredible? And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, all the Gentile nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be what? Endued. It means you're going to be clothed with power. What? From on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Isn't that incredible, this whole chapter?
That's right. So he's telling them to tarry. And now here we're getting back to the Holy Ghost. Right?
That's right.
To the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because these disciples were born again.
That's right.
They were born again. They had received. He blew on them and they had received that. And so but now he tells them to tarry until they are endued with power from on high. And that's referring to the day of Pentecost.
That's right.
When they were to wait in Jerusalem until that day, because there was an appointed time. See, God always has an appointed time for something to happen.
That's right.
So there was an appointed time on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost would be poured out, just like it happened back in the Old Testament on Mount Sinai, right, with Moses. There was an appointed time. And so he gave them directions to wait because they had not yet been endued with power.
That's
even
right.
Though they had gone out and done miracles in the name of Jesus, but God said that they needed to be endued with power. And he said that gift was for all of us, isn't it? Amen.
That's right.
As we, you know, even pray for our brother and sister around the world. And I think about Roscoe and Audrey on Andros Island. See, they waited until they were endued with power to start the ministry. We must, and these disciples, they waited until they were endued with power because they had much things they had
to learn yet.
But look what they had to go through. A lot of people came against them. You know, every one of them died except for John. Right?
He died a natural
murdered
death
in some way. But they were to wait and be endued with power. And so we need to be endued with that same power.
Amen.
Because, you know, Jesus said that he would go back to the Father. And he says that they would send him, the Father and Jesus would send the Holy Ghost, that we would be endued with that power.
From on high to go out and do the work of the ministry, right?
And that is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's the gift of the Holy Ghost to endure us with that power. He said we would be baptized with what? With the Holy Ghost
and fire. And
fire.
That's
Holy
right.
Ghost
fire
and
burns out
fire.
The dross, the things
so
we don't have,
we need
to have
the fire
around.
We do need the fire of God to burn out the dross and also to keep us on fire and to keep us moving in the things of the Lord and not to have any fear, to have any fear of what's happening. Fear of the world.
That's
fear
right.
of things that may be happening in the world. Jesus said all these things would come to pass. And I'm thinking, Pastor Gene, about are you still teaching on this?
I got one thing I just want to say.
Okay, go ahead.
You think about where we're at here in Luke. Mm-hmm. Jesus already suffered, went through all of his passion, all that trouble, and most of the disciples weren't there. They didn't see him suffer on that cross. They all disappeared except for John, okay?
That's right.
But I thought about this, you know, and something that Roscoe and Audrey said when she was here last night. It dropped into my heart, and I'll never forget it. It was a word of a revelation, just boom, dropped into my heart.
Right.
And she said, the nails didn't hold Yeshua on the cross. It was the love that he has for us.
Love.
That's what kept him. He could have called a legion of angels. He may not ever went to the cross, but he stayed there because he loved us so much. I thought that was incredible.
And that's that heart love.
That's
because,
that heart.
Because, you know, it says over here in Proverbs, it says, what? As a man thinks in his heart, and it also says in other places, many places, that the heart is wicked. So we certainly, definitely do need a heart change. And, you know, only the Holy Ghost and fire is going to give us that heart change and cause us to fall more and more in love with the Lord. But I'm kind of thinking about all these, like your teaching and your commentary. You know, this leads us right up to a prophetic time in history when something was going to happen.
That's right.
Now, they knew Pentecost was coming because they weren't ignorant of the feast.
They did it every year.
They did it every year.
Sure.
And they were Jews, so they weren't ignorant of the feast. So they listened and they obeyed what Jesus said.
But
and
they weren't
stayed.
Expecting what happened.
They were surprised, I'm
That's
sure.
Right.
So, but they knew about what happened
Hallelujah.
At Mount Sinai. They knew the history of,
That's
you
right.
know, they know their word well. And so there's many things that we just need to know because God does things on his appointed times. And your teaching with your commentary talks about these appointed times. And so, like we're talking about, we have Purim coming up.
Amen.
And then we have Passover, first fruits. And I know we're going to talk about this maybe in the next couple of weeks. But, you know, there's going to be these blood moons, right?
They're coming
You're
up.
Talking
yeah.
about
One's
blood.
Going to be in April, yeah.
That's right. So there's going to be blood moons. And somebody say, well, what is a blood moon? What's this? Well, there's going to be four blood moons
in 2 years, yeah.
This year and next year. Two this year and two next year. I'm just going to give you the dates. What is the significance of four blood moons coming over the next 2 years? on the Jewish Passover.
That's right.
So the two of them will be on the Jewish Passover. This year it'll be April 15th, mm-hmm. 2014, and next year it will be April 4th, 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And there are going to be two more blood moons, one this year in the fall on Sukkot on October the 8th, 2014, and also in Sukkot next year, October the 8th. One will be October the 8th, 2014, and the other one will be September 28th, 2015. So it's not like our calendars. They always fall on the same day, like, you know, Christmas is always December 25th.
That's right.
No, there's certain days because they go by the moon and the calendar, the prophetic calendar. So here we have four blood moons. So
another key thing too.
God plans that and it happens. And I always wanted, before you share that about the blood moons, it says here, I just want to share about the last three times this occurred was right around moments in Jewish history.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, for example, when it happened in 1493 and 1494, Jews were expelled from Spain.
Spain, that's right.
So, and four is the witness of God.
Absolutely.
Four is the witness of God. So we have to remember, four is a witness of God, the things mm-hmm. in the heavenlies, the stars, then the moons, and all the things that happen in the heavenlies. Four is a witness of God. Okay, the blood moons in 1949 and 1950 came right after the nation of Israel was assembled, giving the Jews a homeland for
Hallelujah.
The first time in thousands of years.
That's right.
That's
not a coincidence.
No, I don't think so. And in 1967 and 1968, it was linked to the Six-Day War. So all of these dates I just mentioned, they all had four blood moons, and they were all on these years when these things happened.
On God's appointed times.
On God's appointed time.
Lunar eclipses.
Not only are there four blood moons on 4/15, 14, and it gives the dates that I just gave you, but there's also going to be a total solar eclipse on 3/20 in 2015 is on the biblical calendar of Nisan 1.
That's right. Interesting.
And what is Nisan 1? Nisan 1 begins the religious calendar. That's why we talk so much about the calendar. And the one thing that's in, the very first thing that's in Pastor Gene's commentary is the calendar and how we can understand the calendar and all the feasts and when they are and what time of the year they are. And you know, it's always, Nisan 1 is always what? The beginning of the prophetic calendar.
That's right. It's the beginning
of
the spiritual year.
He has a prophetic calendar, which is what the book of Revelation is on, and the book of Daniel is on, and then he also has a calendar for crops. Civil calendar.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to know about these things, these blood moons, and what's going to happen, you know? So Nisan 1 begins the religious calendar, according to the Torah. It's the first month of the Jews.
That's right. You know what I see in this, Pastor Donna? Think about it. When the Jews see a solar eclipse, it's a bad sign for them. That's what they believe with their history and all that. But these other four that we're talking about that's going to happen this year and next year, think about it. They're both blood moons on a lunar eclipse. Well, I think about it. It's showing you at the beginning when Jesus came, he died at Passover, and then the one in the fall, Tabernacles, is a conclusion which shows a pattern of what? Of the kingdom of God. He's showing us the blood, it's the blood, with his life, it's going to cause this to happen. So he's showing us the beginning and the end of what Jesus wants to do. He's doing it 2 years in a row to remind everybody in the world that he's getting ready to come back.
But you know, in the middle is going to be this
solar eclipse.
Mm-hmm. So there's going to be two blood moons. Then there'll be a solar eclipse in March mm-hmm. next year, and then there'll be two more blood moons. So there's something as significant that's going to happen in these next 2 years.
But see, they know the blood moons, there's not a warning about something wrong or bad. The solar eclipse.
But the solar eclipse.
They knew. God's telling us something. But those lunar eclipses, they know that God's showing them something also. But it's not something negative. It's something positive. What's the positive about it? To come to the blood of Yeshua.
Right. But that solar eclipse is going to be just before Passover.
That's
next, in 2015.
That's right.
So, you know, there's... We got one coming up here soon, don't we? We need to be aware of these things.
That's right.
And know. Because the time is short. And Jesus has warned us. He said, when you see these things beginning to come to pass... Look up, because your redemption draws nigh.
That's exactly what he said.
That's right. It's near.
But one of the things I mentioned, Roscoe and Audrey, let's say hello to you.
Oh,
it was a little late in the program.
Bless
but
you.
I was so blessed with that word that she gave us that day she was there, and we took communion about it was the love of God that kept him on the cross, not the nails. And so we just say, bless you. We keep praying for you folks. And
because he said he could have called a legion of angels, right?
That's right.
But his love, the love that he had for us.
And some of you don't know who Roscoe and Audrey Walks are. We have a sister church on Andrews Island called the
Temple of God
on Conk Sound, and we're a part of them. We love them so much, and so it's an apostolic and prophetic dimension on the island of Andros in the Bahamas, and so we lift them up, and we just pray that God's going to continue to do wonderful things with them, and so we love you both. So enjoy your day, and we'll be talking at you again soon, we know. But anyway, this is an interesting topic, isn't it, about all the things that we have prophetically in the Word of God. And all these things are signs, you know. Go read Psalms chapter 19. It tells you that how the heavens are declaring the glory of God. The heavens are speaking all the time. You know,
all
the planets
time.
Move around, and the constellations, they're all telling something
all the time.
So if we would just be aware. You know, the sages years ago, they understood all that. And, you know, they weren't astrologers like most people think. They were astronomers. They were studying the heavens to see what was out there to tell us about the Messiah. And that's how the Magi came when after Christ was born and all that. It's because of what they saw in the heavens and all that. And so we have all these signs. So here we are. We're in the last of the last days. I don't know how many more years we got, but even if it's 10 years, that's not very long in God's time. And so we need to be on fire and trust Him and study the things in the Word of God. I'm thinking about something else too, Pastor Donna.
You know, and while you're going there, I just want to mention too, we talk about the Spirit, we talk about the Holy Spirit, we talk about the Holy Ghost, and in our church, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, we have a lot of things that we have. We have a Torah, we have the Star of David, we have a lot of different things, but one thing we have is we have a representative of a river. You know, it's a big, long piece of very sheer
material.
Mm-hmm. And it's blue, and we put it down. It's like the river. And on Friday nights, many people just go up there and they're laying it. It represents the water and the river of God. And, you know, when God talks about the river, and He talks about water, and He talks about His Spirit throughout the Bible. You know, God is still moving upon the face of the water.
Sure,
you know, we are made up of water, right? And He wants to move on our hearts, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that living water, Jesus talks so much about living water. And, you know, water is so mentioned so many times in the Bible. But I just want to go to the very first time it's mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in the very first book, in Genesis chapter 1. And it's in verse 2. And it says here, "And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters."
Mm-hmm.
He moved upon the face of the waters, and He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. You know, God is still moving on the face of the waters of our life, and He wants to. He's saying, you know, "Let there be light." You know, let the light of Jesus come into you, and let Him move upon the Holy Ghost, which is a picture of the water. The water, the Word of God, becoming the water, moving in our life and causing us to move on in the things of God. So we need that living water. It's living water. See, God's water is living. See, the earth, it says here, when before we were born again, we were like this. We were like the earth. The earth was without form
and
void.
Yeah.
And darkness was
That's
upon
right.
the face of the deep. So we were in darkness.
That's right. We sure
were.
We were
lost, you know.
Amen.
And then what happened? God breathed. He breathed on us, and He spoke to us, and He says, "And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." Well, here we're talking literally, but I just want people to see spiritually, God wants to move in our heart. See, it's with our heart man believes. And so he wants to move. He wants to stir us. And he wants to, see, water brings life.
That's right.
Water brings life.
Hallelujah.
So the Spirit of God is still moving, and He's still moving on the face of the waters, and the face of the waters of the nations.
That's right.
He's drawing people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
That's right.
Bringing light.
That's right. We were reading over in Luke chapter 24 about at the end when what Jesus told His disciples, and I was thinking, well, Donna was talking about this. 1 Corinthians 15 has a couple of verses very interesting. I want to read verses 3 and 4 with you.
Mm-hmm.
Paul says, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to what? The Scriptures." So if the Old Testament saints and the sages that were over there, the prophets
right.
that were over there, the priesthood that was there, everything, if they just studied the Scriptures, they could have found out all about Yeshua, because it revealed it. And then verse 4 says that he was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So here's this third day again. So think about
mm-hmm.
this. He was in the grave for 3 days. Genesis 1, we talk about this a lot. Each one of those days represents what? A period of 1,000 years in the history of the church. Of Israel and the church.
That's
okay?
right.
So third day. So here He rose again on the third day. So to us, to me, I look at this, each one of those days is going to represent a period from the time that Christ rose from the grave, 3 days until the kingdom will be over. And so if He come out of the grave after 3 days. Well, that means we're going to be resurrected, what? At the beginning of what? The third day. Mm-hmm. That's when it should be, okay? Right. So here we are. We have these 3 days. They're so important. Look at the third 3 days. We have to understand. So from the time he came out of the grave, we went 2,000 years, and then what happened? What's going to happen? The kingdom is going to start to happen. We know things are going to start to happen. The tribulation is going to come. But then at the beginning of the third day, we'll be resurrected. And when we get into the third day completely, what will it be? The kingdom of God.
Well, that third day, you're saying, represents 1,000 years.
Each one of those days represents 1,000 years. So he was in the grave for 3 days. Each one of those days in my heart, looking at this, mm-hmm. represents a period of 1,000 years up to the time that the kingdom will be there and established and will come to a conclusion.
That's
it's incredible.
Right. And you can prove it, that, and that people have done this. You can go through it and read every single person, then, you know, it says who begot so-and-so when he
That's
died,
right.
and his son, and you can add all the years up. And
That's
Jesus
right.
Jesus came to this earth. He was born of Virgin Mary on what? The 4,000?
The end of 4,000 years,
4,
exactly.
The 4,000 years.
The and beginning of the fifth day, in other words.
And so now we've come through 2,000 years now, and we're close to that seventh day, which would represent the
kingdom
time,
of God.
The 1,000 years, which would be the seventh.
That's right.
The 7,000.
So from the time that he came out of the grave, we have, what, 2,000 years, and then the kingdom. Well, we've almost covered that 2,000 years. That's those 2 days.
Those 2 days.
So we're getting ready to come out.
Now, some people say, well, we already have. We have. Now, according to his birth, we have covered 2,000 years, but not according to his death.
Not according to the scriptures.
So, yeah. But according to his death, see, when he died, that's when the church started, is when he died. The church didn't start when he was born.
That's right.
The church started when he...
After his death, that's right.
After his, when he died and he rose and, you know, he raised up his disciples. That's when the church started. Basically, a lot of people say that on Pentecost, you know, or when the disciples, when he rose up to heaven. Well, that was just a matter of what? So many days, 50
that's right.
days. So that's when the church... And so that has not been 2,000 years since that time. And many people look at the 2,000 years from the time of his birth.
Nope. Well, it's not from his birth.
You look at the time from his death. We haven't, because you got those 33 years that he was alive, right?
That's right.
You have those 33 years that he was alive. So we really, if you have to wait and count the time of when he died, so, and when he rose.
That's
from
right.
the grave.
So we can prove this in with the first covenant. Okay, you can prove it mm-hmm. in Hosea. Because he said over there he was going to return to his place. That means if you're going to return, it means you must have been there before.
So he's going to return to heaven.
He's going to return to heaven until
right.
what? Until they acknowledge their offense, which is rejecting the Messiah. And then we go into chapter 6, and it tells you over there in verse 2 that after 2 days,
after
prophetically,
2 days.
This is 2,000 years, what? He will revive us, talking about the Jewish people, okay? In the third day, okay? He will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. So it's talking about resurrection. The third day will be what? The millennial kingdom that will be there. We'll be there. The church will be there. All who believe in Yeshua and all the Jewish believers that will come at that time as well. So it's going to be an incredible time.
It's exciting.
So the 3 days is important.
And
so,
we're very close.
That's right. And it's all because of the blood of Jesus. And what we got to remember, everything he did was about the heart. He wants people to come.
The heart, to fall
in love with him with all their heart, all their soul, all their mind, all their strength. He wants us to love him and to come to him. And his desire is that. He's wooing people today all over the world to bring them into the kingdom of God. We know the kingdom of God, it says in Luke, came without observation, but mm-hmm. we know it's in us. But one day we're going to see the real thing. Hallelujah. Whoosh, a mom,
it's
baby. We're
going to
see the
faith.
Real thing one day. It's going to be in our heart. And we will see it. And we'll be walking in it. Mm-hmm. And we'll be there. Can you imagine? We'll be there for 1,000 years. I can't comprehend it really. It's so great. But that's what we'll be. And then if there was an eighth day, which there isn't, at the end of the that 7,000 year period, the new Jerusalem is going to come down to the earth, and then we're going to live and be in that place with the Lord for eternity. Can you imagine it? There'll be no more need for the sun or the moon. It's going to be the light of the Messiah and his Father and all that. Oh, I get so excited thinking
Hallelujah.
About it. Glory be to God.
Thank you, Lord.
So
and
God
you know,
wants
and it's
us to
by
know
the
that.
Spirit that we're quickened. I want to read here in 1 Corinthians 15,
okay.
over here in verse 45. It says, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul.
That's right.
He breathed into Adam, and he became a living soul.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. The last Adam, which is Jesus, was made a quickening spirit. And what
That's
are
right.
we? We are spirit.
That's right.
So it's spirit to spirit. God wants to touch our spirit. That's how we come
Hallelujah.
To him. See, with a mind, we're going to be have all. We just don't believe. People don't believe. They would because they have. Mm-hmm. They don't believe. But it has to be the heart. Howbeit, that was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural. We were natural before we became spiritual, right?
That's right.
And afterwards, that which is spiritual.
Thank you, Lord.
The first man is of the earth, earthly,
mm-hmm.
sensual, all
sure.
these things.
That's
you
right.
know, Adam fell, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sin. The second man, talking about Jesus, is the Lord from heaven.
Thank you, Lord.
So he came down from heaven. But see, that Adam came first, and we know that Adam, you know, God loved Adam, but Adam and Eve, they failed, and so had mankind failed all down through the ages, all these thousands of years. But God sent the second man,
Yeshua,
from heaven,
hallelujah.
The Lord, mm-hmm. what? To bring that quickening, to quicken our spirits and to touch our hearts that we might believe. Because it's
right.
with the heart man believes, not with the mind or
That's
reasoning,
right.
but it's with the heart man believes. Thank you, Father God. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we, I love this, shall also bear the image of the heavenly.
Hallelujah.
Whoa.
That's right.
Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed.
Hallelujah.
Wow. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this
Hallelujah.
Mortal must put on immortality.
Hallelujah.
Wow. Isn't that powerful?
We're running out of time here, but I wanted to,
Glory
just
to God.
Mention one thing. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4 says that Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So here, right after his baptism,
Thank
he started
Lord.
His ministry, what happened? He's talking about bread and the word, just like we talked about over there in John chapter
That's
6.
Right.
Amen.
We need
so
the bread of life.
That's
and
right.
We need
so
the
we
word
hope
of
you
God.
Trust, we trust you enjoyed the program.
Thank
if
you,
you'd
Lord.
Like to get a copy of the tape, the CD, we said that you could call, give them the phone number, honey, and
Amen.
We'll close.
We have services here in Stuart, Florida. This is Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton with Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And we do have services here on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You can give us a call, and we'll give you some more information. If you like a calendar for this month, which also has all your Jewish dates on there, and you can learn the Hebrew letters and the Hebrew and the numbers, you can give us a call. We'd be glad to send you one of those free of charge. And if you would like to send a love offering, we would be blessed of that as well. You can also listen to this program again on WCNO.com and just go to the podcast, and you can hit any date and listen to us again on called Raising the Standard with Gene Hilton. So this is Gene and Donna Hilton, and we're blessed to be on this radio program. Our phone number here in Stuart, Florida is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007.
Amen. So we're here to touch your heart. We hope that what you heard today,
Amen.
We tell you, as we always do as
look
we
up.
Close, to look up, because
look
your
up.
Redemption draweth nigh. Hallelujah. What
Amen.
Do we say, Pastor Don?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at this same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.